to have fun. How many know that we have fun when we come to the house of God? We're talking about the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. It comes alive in our life. I want to talk to you today about the thought of a reality check. Everybody say reality check. Reality check. Well, Ephesians 4:20. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there in Ephesians 4:20. Hope you have your Bibles today. Not all of our scriptures will be on the overhead. Some of them will be reading to you. That's why it's important to bring your Bible also. Take notes, mark these Bible verses. If you don't have your Bible with you, make sure you're writing and taking notes down so you can go back and study some of these scriptures later on throughout the week in your personal devotion time. Ephesians 4:20 says this, "But you have not so learned Christ." Everybody say learned. Talking about, "You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, and that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man, which was created according to God and in true righteousness and holiness. Today we're talking about reality check. Reality check. It talks about here that we are renewed by what? By the spirit of your mind. Everybody say mind. We are renewed. We are changed. We are refreshed. We become like Christ through the spirit. What? The spirit of what? Renewed through the spirit of our mind. It's a mind. Say to your neighbor this. Turn to your neighbor and say this. Say, what you thought was real may not be real at all. What you need is a reality check. Carlos, you better guard the doors today. Make sure no one takes off running today. Because it's going to be fun. It's going to be good. It's this thing about our mind and about knowing that, you know, everything that we go through in life, that really it starts right here, between our ears. It starts in the mind. The change that we are, the maturity as Christians, everything we happen, it happens right here in our mind. It's our mind that we begin to serve the Lord. We think, what's in my heart? No, it's in your mind. It starts in your mind, and it goes to your heart. But it starts right here in your head. It's this mind thing. Our mind is this huge database. I mean, you're talking about megabytes after megabytes. Our minds are the most complex computer ever developed. The most complex computer ever developed. Any kind of data memory, the mind is complex, and it has all that inside that. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. But what a man thinks in his heart, he shall be. So Scripture says, what a man thinks in his heart. What a man what? Thinks. It starts in the mind. It's not what a man thinks in his heart, he shall be. 1 Corinthians 13:11. If you get your Bible, you can turn there. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says this. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought, there it is, I thought in my mind, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So if we look at the scripture, how do I put away childish things and become a man? Because he says, when I was a child, he says this, I spoke as a child. I understood mentally. I understood as a child. And I thought, there it goes in the mind, I thought again as a child. So if I become a man, it's not necessary. How do you become a man? That's the question that everybody asks these days. When do you become a man? Is manhood a certain age? I say, no, it's not, because I know many men who are young who have taken on a mentality of a man. I know a lot of guys who are fathers and who are older in age, but yet they have mentality of a child because they are still thinking as a child. They still understand as a child. And just being a father doesn't make you a man. Just being a dad doesn't make you a man. Just being over 20, over 30, over 40 doesn't make you a man. Today, being a man starts in the mind. It's a mentality change that you have, a mentality of taking responsibility, a mentality of standing up for what's right and taking personal responsibility, a maturity that happens, and it starts in your mind. He said, when I was a child, I did childish things, but when I was a man, I put on the things the man put on. Manhood is a mentality. It starts in your mind. Look what 2 Corinthians 10:8 says. This is a great scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:8. Actually, 10:4. 10:4, 5, and 6 says this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge, there goes the mind thing, against the knowledge of God, bringing to every thought, there's the mind thing, bringing to every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what it's saying is our battle as Christians, as mature Christians, as men, as women, is not just a spiritual battle, but it becomes a battle of the mind. That we're captivating every thought that comes subjection to Jesus Christ. It's the knowledge of Him. It's the mental, more than just what we are of age. I've been going to church for 5 years. I've been going to church for 15 years. It doesn't make you mature. It's a mental thing. It's a mind thing. We need a reality check about our mind. It's more than just sin. It's more than things that are happening in your mind. We are dealing with things more than just sin. We're talking about depression. We're talking about fears. We're talking about things that are happening in our lives that keep us back, failures, unbelief. That's so why so many marriages struggle, I believe, today. Because there's things that are hidden in our lives as men and women that people really don't know who we are. There's things hidden in our life, in our mind, that we struggle with, and we never reveal them until 10 years down the road. It takes about 10 years for you to really realize who the person you're living with really is, that you fully begin to understand who they really are. And then by the time you find out who they really are, you want to run, don't you? You want to take, hey, man, I didn't sign up for this. You wasn't the man that I married. What happened here? Things happen in our lives, and I believe that change takes place in the mind. It's a reality check that we need. And what we really want is freedom, isn't it? Men today, if we could think about anything, what do we really want? Guys, if we could tell our wives anything today that we want, we could say we want freedom. Freedom for you to accept us for who we are. Freedom to be accepted for who we really are. And that's a hard thing because we haven't necessarily shown you the real us. The many times we don't show you who we really are because we're afraid of rejection or afraid that you won't accept us. And so today I say to you women that we want freedom to show you who we really are. Many people today are like the children of Israel. The children of Israel were slaves to Pharaoh, and they needed Moses to come and to set them free and to say, hey, let my people go. And today there's a lot of us here who are slave to many different things in our minds and our thoughts. We are a slave to different things. And I ask you today, what's your Pharaoh? What's the things that you are enslaved to? What are the thoughts that are holding you back? What are the thoughts that are keeping you from reaching your fullest potential? What are the thoughts that are keeping you from loving the way you know you should love? What are the thoughts that are keeping you from being the father you know you need to be? What are the things that are keeping you a slave to that? And I'm here today to say that in the Old Testament, Pharaoh was holding the children of Israel captive, and he was holding them, and God sent Moses to set them free. In the New Testament, God sent his only son to set you and I free. He died for us, and he came that we could what? Live this life according to freedom. He has come to set our minds free. He does not want you a slave to any mental thing, any mental past, anything that you've done in your past that's holding you back, anything that you've been exposed to in your life that's mentally keeping you from loving the way that God wants you to love, that's keeping you from being the father, the mother that he wants you to be, to being the Christian, to being the man that God has called you to be. He is calling you to step it up. He's calling you to step up and be that person. But what is a slave thing that's keeping you back? What's the thing that's holding you back today? We got to identify that. I believe this today, that many of us today are here. The thing that's holding us back is the thing right here between our ears. It's our mind. The things in our mind, the things we went through, the things, the fears that we have. We have things in our mind. And today you've got to make up your mind that I want to be better, that I want to do better. It starts in your mind. And we've seen an example of this, no greater example than the story of the prodigal son. Here's the prodigal son. Many of you know the story of how this son who went to his father said, Dad, give me all my inheritance now. And he took it away, and He took it early, went out, you know, and blew it all on the party lifestyle, on drugs, alcohol, women, did the whole thing, you know, and blew all of his inheritance. And he finally found himself, when a famine came to the land, he was working for a pig farmer, and all he did was feed the pigs, and in return, he got to eat the slop with the pigs. That was his pay. And he found himself living in the slop of the pig pen. He went from everything of riches, and prestige, and a place of honor to going out, having all the friends he wanted, his money disappearing, to finding himself living with the pigs, eating among the pigs. And the Word of God says something that's very, very, very important that we realize today, guys and women today, is this. The Word of God says that he finally came to his senses. And he thought, you know what? I'm here eating with the pigs. I can go back to my dad's house, and I can at least work as one of his servants. The Word of God says he got up, cleaned himself off, and began to go to his father's house. And there's something that happened in the story. Look, there was a mind change that he took. He said, you know what, I'm tired of living with the pigs. I'm tired of hanging out here in the slop. I can do better than this. Yeah, my dad may not fully want to accept me back to where I was, but that's okay. I'm going to get out of the pig pen. I'm going to do it. And he got up, and he shook himself off and began to go home. And today I challenge you and say that it is a mind thing. It is a mind thing. Guys, you say, I can't do it. Yes, you can. You can do it. Mom's here today. He said, I can't do this. I can't do better. I'll never be a better mom. I'll never be a better father. I'll never have a better job. My kids will never be able to go to college. I'll never get the new car. I'll never have a new house. I'll never get a raise. Yes, you can. You've got to start right here. You got to begin to see it in your mind. He says, it starts in the mind. It starts in the mind. You know that God has called me to walk higher than this. God has called me to be a better father than this. God has called me to be a better mother than this. It starts in the mind. We have got to have a reality check. Touch your head and say this. This head. Come on, touch your head like this. Everybody do this. Say, this head, this mind is an awesome thing. Our minds are an awesome thing. They are created by God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you realize that our minds are the biggest computers that have ever been built? God is doing this. Let me ask you this question. God has given you more than what you're using right now. Ask yourself that question. Are you using all the mind that God gave you? Are you using all the mind that God gave you? That's why I like to hang around positive people. That's why I like to hang around people who are positive, because I hate hanging around people who are negative and people who think low, because you know why? They'll get you thinking low. They'll get you thinking negative. I want to hang around people who think positive. I want to hang around people who are doing big things. I want to hang around people who are dreaming big dreams for themselves, for their family. I want to hang around people who say, you know what? I want to grow in Christ this year. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better Christian. I want to grow. I want to hang around those kind of people. Why? Because my mind is influenced by the people that I hang around. And I want my mind, because everything becomes, the battle starts where? In my mind. The battle's taking place where? In my mind. I've got to surround myself in my mind with people that make me better. Dads today, you say, oh man, I got to be, well, hang around dads that are doing better. Find some guys that are doing better and hang around them. Eat lunch with them. Don't just go with the guys that are going out and talking about dirty jokes and having to go with somebody else for change who can lift you up and say, you know what? I took my kids to the ball game this year and we did this and we did this. My guys are growing, and find some other guys who are Christians who can be around you and can talk about, hey, how did you grow when you first were saved? How did you learn to read the Bible? How did you learn to pray? How did you learn to worship? How did you learn to teach your kids about God? How'd you learn to communicate with your wife? How'd you learn to be a better employer? How'd you learn to be a better boss? Surround yourself with people. It starts in your mind. Our minds are a wonderful thing. It's time for a change. It's time for reality check, guys and women today. So watch to stop us. They say that in our minds that we have 1 million sensors, receptors. That our minds have 1 million sensus receptors. What that means is talking about the five senses: our sight, our touch, our smell, our hearing, our taste. All these things are controlled by 1 million sensors in our brain. I mean, your brain is so complex that you have the ability to hear me speak, read your Bible, birth the baby, pick out the paper, take notes, think about what you're cooking at home right now. You can do all this at the same time. Why? Because you are multitask-oriented. You can do these things in your brain because your brain is so complex. You try to do it on your computer will crash. You know what I'm talking about? How many try to open up, you know, several pages and try to run a DVD while you're trying to burn this and listen to music? What happens? Your hard drive fills up and it crashes and you have to start your computer over again because you got too much memory filled up and you just can't do it. Your computer's always crashing and things are always happening. Your pages are always freezing up. Aren't you glad your mind doesn't do that? I mean, God has got you where you can do multitask things so much. Your mind is such an awesome thing. But do you realize we have 1 million that tell us, oh, this tastes good? You know, that's how we do things. That's why a mom can walk up and look at their child and say, ooh, you look sick. Oh, you feel like you're running fever. Oh, that cough, that's a bad cough there. You got a chest cold there. You can touch, you can feel, you can hear, you can comprehend. Your mind tells you your kid's sick. It's a computer. It's always going. It's always going up there. It's always happening. Computing to you what's happening. But do you realize we have 1 million for our sensors? But you realize we have 10 billion. They tell us we have 10 billion sensors that are working in our imagination. We have 1 million that's working with our senses. And think of how complex that is. We have 10 billion that work in our imagination. We have 10 billion sensors that are working in our mind. I want you to do this for me. I want you to close your eyes. Let's close your eyes, and I want you to imagine yourself outside of a beach somewhere with the grass green, fresh grass, blades of grass, flush, you're sitting on it, got your picnic basket there, and you're sitting out, laying down, just kind of resting there. To your back, you can hear, and you turn around and see a waterfall coming as it trickles down the side of the cliff there, fresh water falling and the mist coming and just kind of cooling you off. And the flowers are blooming, and you can smell the flowers as they bloom, and you can hear the birds chirping and the bees buzzing. You can reach into that basket right now and pull out that fresh piece of pie. You can almost taste that top pie. See, it's our mind. How many wake up? How many are in Maui right now? You're talking about, you're not. You're in Joplin. Raise your, back to reality check here. But isn't it amazing how you can just go there in your mind? You realize your imagination has 10 billion sensors. I mean, you can imagine things, and it can happen. I mean, it's right there. It becomes reality in your mind. You and I have that kind of capability. God has made us that our minds are just like it's real. You can imagine it. It can happen. It was Ray Charles that they were talking about, and I heard an interview with him, and he talked about how he composed music. And Ray Charles, of course, lost his sight at about the age of 7. And when he lost his sight, that his other senses kicked in. And he said when he lost his sight, he learned to be able to hear things differently and feel things differently. And he talked about how he could compose music. And he said that when he composed music, it wasn't that he would just sit down and listen to it, play it out on the piano and in other instruments. But he said when he composed music, he composed it in his mind. And they asked him, why did you compose music in your mind instead of sitting down at the piano and doing it all out there? He said, I don't do that. He goes, I hear it better and more clear and on tune in my mind than I ever do on the piano. I mean, he was at that point. He said it was more real to me in my mind than ever was reality. And that's the way it happens. That reality, many times we think reality is not reality. In our mind, what we have imagined as real becomes more real to us than what reality really is. That our mind and our imaginations will take us places. And we see things and we want things. And we think that this is what I've imagined to be the perfect life. And we've built these things up. And it's in our mind. We've conditioned our mind to imagine things. And sometimes our condition is not reality. It's not reality. But what happens today in our mind? I'm going to talk about three eyes, about our mind. It's really important. It's about today, the first eye is about images. Images in our mind. We're talking about a reality of images that we have in our spirit, in our mind especially, our thoughts. What you thought was normal is not normal. That's the first reality check I want to talk to you today about is this. What we think is normal is not necessarily normal. But we have become so used to saying this is normal that we accept it for what it is. You know, when two people say, I love you, and they walk down that wedding aisle, they have two different things they mean. Do you realize that? When you tell somebody you love them and they say, I love you too, they have two different things they mean. The way they think of love and the way you think of love are two different things. It's according to the way you were raised, to the according to perceptions you have in your mind, that's what you think love is. And it may not always, and many times is not, the same thing. Our realities are different. We have this images in our mind of what normality is. So we pass down from generation to generation what we think normal is. If you look back over the last few generations, we've gained a lot of good things, haven't we? Our fathers have passed on, and our mothers have passed on a lot of good things to us. But we've also lost a lot of good things. We've also lost a lot of character many times, and a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work ethic. And we've lost a lot of things. We've gained a lot of wealth. We've gained prosperity. But we haven't always gained what they gained in the struggle. We haven't always gained what mom and dad gained through the struggle. And if you're here today, mom and dad, and I say this to you, if you say, I've been struggling for a long time, I'm finally getting on my feet, and we're doing well, and I want my kids to do better than I did, and you want to hand them things, I say, think twice about that. Think twice about how you hand your kids your prosperity. Think twice about how you bless them. Now, I'm all for blessing your children and doing the best you can for them, but they need to know your struggle as well as they do your prosperity. They need to know what you struggled to get there, that your marriage struggled at times, and that your finances struggled at times. And it takes a lot of hard work, and you're going to fail at life sometimes. You're going to lose jobs sometimes. You're going to have things that happen that cause you to be in financial trouble, and you got to dig your way out through hard work and through prayer and through faithfulness to the Lord and through paying of your tithes. You do things, and you teach your kids these things. Don't just hand them it over and say, here you are. You know, you're blessed because I'm blessed, because you are not doing them any good. We got to pass on to our generation, not what the ideas are, but the conditions we think are normal. We got to pass on our struggles as well. And talking about these struggles in marriages, especially, we are conditioned by society to think everything is about romance. In our images, in our head, everything is about romance. I mean, think about it. The little boys, what happens? And little boys, they're out, they're playing in the dirt, playing with cars, we're eating worms, you know, we're catching crawdads, we're doing things, you know, playing ball. What are the little girls doing? What are you doing? You're at home playing house. You got your little stove, you know, you're cooking meal already. You're having your tea parties, you know, and you're wearing your veil, you know, you got your dress on with the towel. You're playing house, you're playing marriage, you know, you're the husband, you're the wife, blah, blah, blah. You know, you get your Barbies out, and you got the family. You're playing house. You're being conditioned to play house. We buy you Barbie houses and doll houses and, you know, all these things. Because why? Because women are conditioned to play mom. They're conditioned to play house. And guys, we just go out and what? We play ball. We catch worms and crawdads and we do all the things guys do. Play cars and we play in dirt. And if you have a little boy who wants to stay home, play house all the time and play with dolls, what happens? Exactly, right there. You're thinking, you know, I never been thinking. We have girls in our house too, and our oldest daughter was 12, and so she always had the dolls there. She always has, you know, the playhouses there, and had the things happening. And it's normality that our boys want to go and play with her things. And I'm always like, you know, hey, you know, let's go play football right now. Put the dollhouse down. Let's go out. You know, I'm always afraid that when my friends come over, that they're going to see my son playing the dollhouse. You know. Can we please hide the Barbies until, you know, the guys leave, until the game's over, you know? Why? Because we think that we're conditioning our guys that you don't do this. Listen, women, our whole life you have been conditioned to play house. And our whole life we've been conditioned not to. And all of a sudden we get married and we're expected to do the very thing we're told not to do. Oh, your turn's coming. You wait just a second there. I'm talking about having an image problem, and it starts in the mind. We have false images of what to expect out of the people we're with, and we have these false images. Girls are imaged and cooked, you know, and prepared for cooking and to be a good wife, and they talk about marriage, and they they have all these things that are happening in their life and conditioning them for marriage. And guys, we're not conditioned that way. Wow. In school, they didn't give guys romance novels. I mean, you know, girls have been reading romance novels since the time they could read. They read about the romance novels, and they watch soap operas, and they do all these things about romance. It's all about the romance, you know, the love songs. And guys in school, you know, we get books about spies and about war, about Huckleberry Finn, you know, and about sports and all these things. We're not conditioned for the same thing. We're not conditioned. We condition our daughters and the women are being conditioned to what? To play house, to be mom, for romance. And the guys, we're conditioned to what? To go out and to do war and to battle on the playing field and to be a conqueror and to be a provider. We're conquered. We're made to be these things. These are the images we have in our mind. And they're two different things. Two totally different things. Ladies have been prepared all their life for a role we had never been trained for. You're thinking that we are been trained to come in and be the best husband, and that's just not reality. It's just not reality that we haven't been trained to come in and be the best husband. Some of you here today are saying, wow, I could have told you that. Some of you ladies, I could have preached this message today, Pastor. I could have told you that. We have these conditions in our heart, and we're trained to be two different people. And so in our mind, if we're going to change, there's got to be reality change. There's got to be an image change. We got to know that we have to struggle. We struggle out to make these marriage vows, you know. And I've married a lot of people, and, you know, these guys are standing behind the door somewhere, you know, and they're shaking. Kind of like these two over here when I'm, you know, they're shaking. And you know what? They're going up there to make this vow to their wife, and she's coming down the aisle, and she's like, she's crying, worried about everything going perfect. She's stressed out, you know. Her and her mom have been fighting for 2 weeks, and, you know, her dad's bawling down the aisle. She's going to have to carry her dad down the aisle, you know. Is the kid's going to mess up the wedding? And they're up there, and they finally get up there. The guy's shaking. You know, he barely gets out. I do. You know, he gets it out of there. I do. Some guys are crying. I do. You know, and they have no idea what they're getting themselves into. I can tell you right now, we have no idea what we're getting ourselves into. We are conditioned for two different things. In our mind, we think what we're doing. In our mind, we think we know what we're getting into. But your mind is conditioned for two different things. A guy, when he's getting married, he's coming thinking, hallelujah. Hallelujah. After this wedding, we're going to have all the sex in the world that we want. It's going to be a Holy Ghost sanction. Guilt-free, anytime, anywhere. That's what the guy's thinking. He's been conditioned all of his life to think that. This is it, hallelujah. I mean, the guys, they're getting spiritual. Hallelujah, Lord is good. Oh, he's my shepherd. Leave me, Lord. And she's coming down the aisle thinking, he is my prince. He is my knight in shiny armor. He's going to carry me back off horseback and ride into the fields of grace and mercy. We're going to smell the tulips, you know. It's two totally different things. They're thinking two totally different things. Their minds are not conditioned the same. She's singing, you know, how our love is so beautiful. And he's thinking, Marvin Gaye, you know, let's get it on. You know, he's thinking the whole thing. I mean, our minds are conditioned. Let's just be real today and talk about it. In fact, we are conditioned. Our images in our head are conditioned for two separate things. And we're raised that way. We learn, you know, this is what happens. We learn how to be a woman from what? From another woman. You know, they teach us, you got to be a mom. You got to cook. You got to do this. You do a house. You cook your stove. And you play with your dolls. And you read about romance. And guys, we learn about what? We're here about the locker room talk. And you hear this and that. And see, we're conditioned for two different things. There's images in our heads and we come and they stop us from being what God wants us to be. They stop our marriages from being the marriages that God wants us to be. They stop us from communicating the way we need to communicate to each other. They stop us from being good fathers, being good mothers. We have these images that are in our minds that we have brought into the marriage. I guarantee that 70% of the women here today are thinking this right now. That's right, Pastor. I'm glad my husband is here today to hear this message, because he needs to hear this message. Because I know that God wants to change him, and he's got to turn into the man that I know he would be. And I'm here today to tell you that God does not want your husband to be the man that you want him to be. That God has created your husband to be the man that God has created him to be. Wow. You're saying that all these things that I've conditioned my mind, the way my husband has got to be, is not reality? No, it's not. That God wants your husband to be the man that he has called him to be. Husbands, the wife that you want her to be is not necessarily the wife that God wants her to be. Your prayer has got to be that I want my husband to be a godly man. I want my husband and father to be a father and a godly man. That he becomes the man that God wants him to be, not the person that I brought into the image of my mind. Not the person I've been conditioned to think he should be. But I want him to be a man after God's heart. There's nothing wrong with you wanting your husband to be a strong Christian and your husband to mature in Christ. I'm talking about false images is what I'm talking about. False images. He's got to be this thing that he's not. Your prayer has got to be to God, you take him and make him the man that you want him to be. That's the image that I've got to have in my mind of my husband. That's the image I've got to have in my mind of my wife. That they will become the spouse that God wants them to be. That God has created them to be. Because what you and I think and imagine is based on what? When you base your thing on books, on movies, on soap operas, on stories, and you spend all your life looking for that man. And I'm here to tell you today, you'll look all your life and that man does not exist. That fairy tale guy that you think is just perfect and all these, he does not exist. I hate to burst your bubble, guys, but the perfect wife who's there 24/7, always ready at your beck and call to do what you need and what you want and your own desires, she does not exist. And if you think you're going into marriage and it's going to be that way, as you always get what you want when you want it, it doesn't happen. That's not reality. We need a reality check. Because what happens is when we want them to be what we want, what happens there? We're imposing our will upon their will. We're imposing our will above God's will. Our prayer has got to be they become the man that God wants them to be. They become the woman that God wants them to be. Man, we suffer from the same delusions. Because many times when we date, we have the same problems, don't we? Many times when you date a woman, she advertises something that she cannot deliver throughout marriage. I told you it was going to be good. You're going to like this. Because why? Because many times in through the dating process, we see you at your best. We see you at your best. I mean, you're always ready. You always look nice. You're always glad to see us. You're always ready to do anything for us. Of course she does. Because you only seen her on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Now you've seen her every day when she's working. She's taking care of the house. She's watching the kids. She's cooking. She's cleaning. She's bringing home the bacon and helping you out also. She's not going to be there for you 24/7 the way she was when you were dating. We've got to have a reality change and realize what's the image of who she is. We have false images. So what happens is we come into marriage thinking that he's going to be my prince. He's going to be my knight in shining armor and romance me away. And we come in thinking, oh, yes, hallelujah. It's going to be a sex fest this year. I mean, we're thinking of all these things, getting what we want, and all these things that happened in our lust of our mind. And then after 3 years, we look at each other one day and say, I didn't sign up for this. She's upstairs with her mud pack on, getting her hair ready for talking to some girl about work. I can't believe what's going on at work. You know what's happening out there? You're sitting in bed frustrated. Man, I can't believe I read it. And you're both frustrated. And you're both ready to throw in the towel and say, I got robbed. Someone lied to me. I say it's an image problem. It's a reality problem that we have, that we're conditioned this way from a small child. What to expect? What to expect? And what has got to happen in our marriages and as fathers and as mothers, we got to have a change of the mind. There's got to be a change in the mind. We got to get false images out of our mind. We got to get false idols that we built up out of our mind. Wow. Because the woman of his dreams always was there for him. Was always there for him. Guys, she can't always be there for you and take care of the kids. She can't always be there for you and make sure that everything's done for you. She doesn't need to be doing that anyway. If you have kids, you need to be doing it together. That's another note there for you to take home and chew on. But she's looking for her daddy. Many times women come in, they're looking for their daddy. They expect their husband to be just like their dad. My dad was so wonderful. My dad was this. And I say, ladies, go back and talk to your mom. Go back and ask your mom, really, wow, I was dad. If you really want to get to the, I mean, she could probably tell you some stuff that you don't know about your daddy. She could probably tell you things that you didn't know about your dad. We have a false reality. And guys, we're not looking for a wife. We're looking for a mom. We want someone to come in and to clean our sheets. We want someone to come in and cook our dinner. We want someone to come in and do your laundry. We want someone to come in and take care of your kids. Listen, your wife is not your mom. This is a partnership. And being, you got to get rid of false images in your mind that you are in this marriage 100%, 100%. Not 50-50. It's 100%, 100%. We've got to get rid of these false images in our minds. And so what's happening is this. We have women today who are strong, who are educated, who are making more than their husbands many times. And so what happens is this. It's a competition thing. It becomes a competition. You know, I can bring home the bacon and cook it too, you know, and it's a competition. And it's just like this. Many of our homes are just like this because of this. After a couple of years, it's this. You know, the husband, one for me and one for her. And she says this and he does this and she can do this better. He can do this better. And they argue about this and they're just doing this. And the whole time, what's happening? Our children are sitting back watching us and keeping score. Yeah, dad's winning today. Oh, one for mom. Two for dad. Two for mom. Three for dad. Four for dad. Oh, three for mom. Four for mom. And they're keeping score. And what is happening is this. They are sitting back keeping score. And in their mind, what is happening to them? They are saying, this is what's normal. And in their mind, they're going to enter marriage thinking, this is normal. And we've got to have a reality check of saying, what am I doing to my children? What am I teaching my children that normal marriage really is? Is it about competition? About who can get the one up? Who can get the last word in? Who's got to be proven right? And what happens is this. We'll say this. You know what? I'm going to change. When I get married, and some of you said this, okay? When I get married, my marriage is not going to be that way. I refuse to be the same way my mom and dad were. I'm going to have a better marriage. But because you were raised with that dysfunction becoming normal, you'll find yourself in your marriage, when you try to do things right, it doesn't feel normal to you. And so you'll find yourself gravitating back to dysfunction because that feels normal to you. And so there's got to be a mind change. You say, you know what? I don't want to just be what was normal. I don't want to be what I came comfortable with growing up. I want to change. I want to have a reality change in my heart. I want to have a reality change in my mind. I don't want to just come and teach my kids this is what marriage is about. This is what being a dad's about. This is what being a mom's about. I want to teach them the godly way to raise my children. I want to learn what it means to be a godly man after God's heart. I want to learn what it means to be a godly husband. Having a reality change. As I close today, I'm going to give you these last two real quick in closing. Number two, talking about images. Images lead to idolatry. Images lead to idolatry. And we idols. Listen, when you have an image in your mind that doesn't exist, that becomes an idol. You are holding this idol up. You know, my spouse has got to be this perfect person right here that I imagine him to be or I imagine her to be. And when I do that, I am creating idols. And God's word is very clear that he hates idols. God despises idols. And when we do that, we are making idols in ourselves. And we become controlling. When we try to impose our will on somebody else, you know what we're doing? We're doing the works of witches. We're doing witchcraft. Because that's what witchcraft is about. It's about imposing someone else's will, your will on them, what you want them to be. It's pretty heavy stuff when we think about it in our mind that we are trying to make our spouse be the person we expect them to be. Wow. Ephesians 4 says we put off the old man. We put off the old man. There's got to be a changing in the mind. Until we get rid of our idols, until we get rid of our images in our mind, we cannot have a change in our heart. We've got to put it off. And this is the problem, is most people, in closing day, most people never get rid of their idols until they're back 80 years old. Do you realize that? We'll be like 80 years old, and we're like 75 years old. You know what? And they'll come up to you and say, you know what, Pastor, if I had it all over to do again, I would do it all different. If I could do it all over again, I would change the way I did things. And I think what a sad, sad state of life to be in, that it takes 70 years, it takes 80 years to realize, you know what, I needed the reality check. I needed to change some things in my life. And that's why I'm speaking to you today, dads and moms. Let's don't wait until we're 70 and 75 and say, man, I wish I would have did better. I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. I wish I would have loved my kids more. I know I didn't know how to love, but I wish I would have kissed them more. I wish I would have hugged them more. I wish I would have spoke positive words to them more. I wish I would have told my wife I loved her more. I wish I would have bought her more roses. I wish I'd have helped her around the house a little bit more. I wish I'd have took her on vacation. I wish I'd have took her to a week to Branson. I wish I'd done some things with her that maybe I didn't do. I wish I'd have quit expecting her to be this thing she wasn't and accept her for who she was. And this, my prayer would be that she would become the woman that God wanted her to be. I wish I would have in my mind that my husband would just become the man that God wants him to be, nothing else. Not what I read in the book, not what Oprah Winfrey told me, who's never been married. Am I how my husband should be? I'm talking about what does God want my marriage to be? And the last thing is information. We need new information in our mind. We need to pray to God, give us new information. Get rid of our idols, getting rid of our images, and say, God, put in new information. Put new information in our mind. We need to say to God, God, create in me a new heart. Some of you are asking, well, Pastor, what should I do? If I feel like I've got these false images in my mind, what do you want me to do? Quit playing ping pong with your wife and your spouse and get up there and saying, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm winning, you're losing, this competition, doing all this thing. We need to step and say, you know what, kids? Dad don't know what he's doing. I blow it a lot, and I'm learning how to be a husband. I'm learning how to be a father. Forgive me. I've blown it. I haven't been the best dad to you. I'm sorry. But I'm praying to God today, and from this day forward, I'm praying to God, create in me a new heart. God, create in me a new heart. God, create in me a new heart. Teach me to be a man after your heart. Teach me to let go of false images in my mind. Teach me to let go of false idols in my mind. I become the father that you've destined for me to be. I become the mother that you've destined for me to be. I become the wife and the husband that you have destined for me to be. Wow, we've got so much to cover today. Let me give you this in closing. You know that in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says this, but I want you to know this, that the head of every man is what? Christ. And the head of every woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. We know this, that the husbands today, you are called to be head of your house. Head does not mean boss. Head is not dictatorship. It's not you rule with the iron fist. Head means covering, that you are called to be the covering of your house. And he has called the women the weaker vessel. And some of you say, oh, I hate that. What do you have to call us the weaker vessel for? I can do anything a man can do. And I say, a lot of women in here, yes, you can. You can do just about anything a man can do. But God didn't create you to do everything a man can do. He has not designed you to do everything a man can do. He brought a man into that world, and he and the man, they did what? They finished the earth. They named the animals. God created the earth, and it wasn't until everything was in place, woman, that he thought enough of you to bring you into this world. I mean, God cherished you so much. He created man. He created the animals. He created the earth. He named all these things that take place. He had everything set up perfect for you. Then he said, all right, now bring her on in. I mean, he thinks of you that much. You are not the weaker vessel. You are not the weaker vessel, but he has created you to be the weaker vessel. Why? Not so you can say, oh, I can't do what a man can do. He's created you this way. Why? Because he has created you for order, order in the house. He has created the man to be the head of the house. He has created the man to be the covering over his house, the protector, the provider, those who look after their children, those who provide for their wife. She needs you to be her covering. Every woman needs a man who can go down to the shop and say, hey, there's nothing wrong with that transmission. There's nothing wrong. All she needed was an oil change. You try to tell her transmission's messed up and she needs to pay $500. No, that's not right. She needs someone who can cover her, someone who can do the things for her. Why has he made you the weaker vessel? Because he wants your man to nurture you. He's made us to be nurturers, because as he nurtures you, he covers you, and you enter fellowship that he has called us to walk in. It's about order. It's not about competition. We got to get these false images out of our minds. So much today. Let me close with saying this to you. I want you to know, dads and moms today, you are raising some other women's. If you have a boys in your home, fathers and mothers, you are raising some other woman's dream or some other woman's nightmare. Which one are you raising today? Are you putting false images in their head? Or are you sitting down talking to them? This is what marriage is about. Wow, it's tough at times, and you got to work through it, and you stick it out when it gets rough, and you don't just give up because you have a fight, and you just don't throw in the towel because you're not getting along, but you work through it. It takes a lot of commitment, and it takes a lot of sacrifice. Today, I pray that this happens not in our just saying with our words, but it happens in our mind, because the Word of God says in our mind is where the renewing takes place. It's in our mind. We've got to get rid of these things. Dads today, what kind of example are you setting for your daughters? What kind of example are you setting for your daughters? I hope that, pray that my daughter and your daughter, when they race and get up and guys begin to want to ask them out and look at them and take them to, you know, on dates and things like that, that they judge that guy based on how they judge you. They say, you know what, this girl, so you look at this guy and say, you know what, my daddy would never speak to me that way. My daddy would never touch me that way. My daddy would never do this. I hope that you are living that kind of life, that their daughters know that, hey, I've got a high standard in a man that I'm looking for. My dad has lived this out. My dad would care for, my dad would always put me a first above his own. My dad would sacrifice for me. My dad would always get out there. If he had to get out there with a shovel and dig ditches, if he had to get out there and do whatever, he was going to make sure I was provided for. He was going to make sure I had what I needed. He was going to cover me. He was going to protect me. What kind of standard are you setting for your daughters and who they're looking for and their spouse? It starts in the mind, guys. It starts in the mind. The battle starts in the mind. I'm going to close today. Thanks for staying with me today. I know I've gone a few minutes long, but this is good. This is good. We've got to hear this. We've got to get rid of these false images and expectations of each other. I begin to pray this. Instead of praying, God, change my husband. God, change him. God, change my wife. No, my prayer's got to be this. God, make my husband to the man you want him to be. And God, change me. God, change my wife into the woman. I mean, God, make my wife into the woman you want her to be. And God, change me. I pray that God changes me. You pray that God changes you and that your spouse becomes the man and the woman that God has called them to be. And letting go of these false images that we've had in our mind and coming together. Let's bow our heads. Today, if you're here, and as we close this message, see, Pastor James, you're speaking. I realize that, man, I've walked into marriage the same way. I've struggled with a lot of false images in my mind. And as you're speaking today, I realize I've even been carrying those, even with me today. I've had these false images in my mind about what my spouse should be. And I want to make a declaration to God today that I want to let go of these false images. And I want to pray this prayer that God would create in me a new heart, a new mind. Fetch you today and say, God's speaking to me as you're speaking about these areas. Can you just raise your hands? That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It's good. Thank you. Anybody else today? That's me, Pastor. Thanks. I've been carrying these false idols in my mind about what my spouse should be. And I want to learn to see them for what Jesus does. I want to learn to pray that they just become the man and the woman that God wants them to be. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, as you're talking today, I realize I've done a lot of bad as far as a father or as far as a husband. Dads, if you're here today and you say, that's me, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I'm making a stand today. I'm making a commitment today to God. I'm going to change some things in my life. I'm going to make my mind up today to get up like the prodigal son and say, I'm going to stop living this way, and I'm going to become a better husband. I'm going to become a better father. I don't care if my kids are already raised and out of the home and they're in college or already married. I'm going to be a better grandfather. I'm going to be a better father to them now. I'm going to start today. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to work on it today. Today, I am making my mind up that I am going to do better. If that's you here today, dads, you say, that's me. I'm going to do that. No one's looking but me. Will you just raise your hand and say, I'm making that commitment today. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thanks, God. I see those. Yeah. Thanks. 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 Let's dance together today. Fathers today, I just want to say to this men today, I'm praying that in our hearts, starting with me, that we have a reality check. In Destiny Church, we would have some men who would step up and say, I'm going to change. I'm going to lead. My wife is not going to be the head of the home spiritually. I'm going to lead my home spiritually. I'm going to lead by example. I'm going to be a better father. I'm tired of dads who come to church one Sunday and gone for four. I'm looking for dads who can say, I'm going to be here. I'm going to have my family in the house of God. I'm going to surround myself with other positive men who can make me better. I'm going to learn to pray that prayer to God. You don't know it all. Who does know it all? None of us know it all. We're learning together. But I'm going to commit myself to learning God's word as the pastor preaches and as God reveals it to me. I'm learning to be a better dad. I'm learning to be a better husband. I'm learning to be a man after God's heart. That's my prayer for you today. I'm going to pray that prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every hand that was raised today, especially for those dads who raised their hands. They said today they're making their mind up, because the battle starts in the mind. They're making their mind up to pull themselves back up and say, even though I failed many times in my marriage, my past marriages, with my children, I'm making my mind up today that I am going to do better. I'm going to love more. I'm going to touch more. I'm going to hug more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to show words of affirmation more. I'm going to speak positive more. I'm going to give more of my time. It's not about my job. It's not about my career. None of that makes a difference. It's about my family, about my godly legacy that I'm leaving for my children. And it starts in my mind. And today, I am making a mental decision that I'm picking myself up. I'm going to walk and say, God, create in me a new heart. I'm going to be a man that leads. And Father, I pray that prayer today that God, that would be the heart cry of Destiny men here at Destiny Church. Become those kind of fathers. And the dad said, amen. The dad said, amen. And the dad said, there we go. And the dad said, all right, there we go. God bless you today. You guys have a great time with your family and friends. Hug a neck before you leave and say, let's get a reality check.